Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're entering hour two of this evening's show. Quick mention again, please come out and visit Tim and I tomorrow at the Healthy Life Expo. You can go out there and see us at Hopkins Eisenhower Community Center at 1001 Highway 7 in Hopkins. It's free to attend Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tim and I will be there along with Adrian Lee, our international correspondent. Come on out, say hi, get to see some of the great speakers and some of the awesome things that they have at this expo. It's definitely worth your time. Had a great time meeting so many of you today. Look forward to meeting more of you tomorrow. We're going to get back into tonight's show. And remind people, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to psychic medium and remote viewer, psychic profiler Robbie Thomas from Canada. He has been integral in many different cases of missing children, missing people, murder cases. And this evening we asked him to take a look at about five different cases. We covered a young man by the name of Logan out of Oklahoma that's been missing, and he gave information to one of the ladies involved in the investigation on that. We were just talking about the Jacob Wetterling case, which, again, has a big impact here in Minnesota. Again, just some brief information that Robbie had given. He doesn't feel that Jacob is still alive. He feels that the man responsible frequents hockey or ice skating rinks in the area and other areas where there's public skating. Not only this, but also anything to do with boys and any type of physical activity, sports at all. He kind of waits around. Robbie believes he is a repeat offender of many boys, and he might use the same kind of MO separating the kids. We do have a name that he provided me that he said popped up to him immediately. We're going to be providing that to the Stearns County Sheriff's Department on Monday morning. Let them know what we've got here. We're going to give them all of the notes that Robbie's supplied us with. He also sees that in the conversations this male having with family, as weird as that sounds, he also thinks the male made it a point to actually go out of his way to speak with those of victims, families of victims and friends, kind of in a sick, perverted way to getting information from these innocent people. People even spoke about how odd it was that this male would become so interfaced with them and driving home the point to no knowledge of his victims from those close to the victim. And people should really look back and recall such events as of this individual this way, in a way that'll help authorities do a profile on him. If you know or you suspect that there's somebody that you know that fits his profile and you'd like to contact, you can certainly contact the Stearns County Sheriff's Department. You can also, I recommend going to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and you can go there by going to missingkids.com. Again, that's missingkids.com. If you have problems or you're missing a child, God forbid that ever happens to any of you, you can go to that site for resources. If you know anything about any of the cases that we're talking about tonight, call their toll-free hotline, 1-800-THE-LOST. Again, that's 1-800-THE-LOST, 1-800-843-5678, 24 hours a day, 1-800-843-5678. We'll give that number again at the end of tonight's show. Robbie, I asked you before we went to the break, did you have a feeling, do you know where Jacob might be, where his remains might be?
Yeah, you know, and very quickly, just going over a few little things and scribbling down, again, here we are. It's a thicket. It's an area, but off from the thicket, if I'm like elevated into the air, I can see that there's like water very close by. And when I'm talking about water, it's like not deep. So it's like people do fly fishing or some type of fishing in this area, and they go there. It's off the beaten path, but where he is too is in like a thicket area to the left. And also, you know, I wrote down watersheds or sheds. So metal sheds, watersheds, I wrote down. I underlined both of them. They're together.
How far do you feel that he is from the place of his abduction?
Not far.
Okay.
Not far.
I'm just curious, if you feel that this is a repeat offender, Robbie, do you pick up any other children's spirits or bodies that may be in that same area that the offender may have put there as well?
You know, going in that aspect of it, and just as you did, you caught me cold here. Just
no problem, right?
No, it's good. It's good because when I get a gasp like that, you know, I never looked at it in that mention. You know, I'm going to have to tell you yes. I'm going to have to go along and say, again, please look at repeat, because there's been a lot of abductions in that area in of children. You know, I'm sitting here, my eyes closed, and I'm writing. So what's coming through is you know, if we can go back and look at the time of him when he was abducted and go back 5 years from then and come forward 5 years, look at all those children that were abducted in and around that area. This, you have to look at this gentleman.
Okay, and we'll give the name again that you supplied us with and the rest of the information that you just supplied us with in court, including an audio version of tonight's show to the Stearns County Police Department. We'll do that on Monday morning. Our next guest we want to bring on the line with us is Gary Peterson. He is a death scene investigator and missing person consultant. Gary Peterson is a longtime investigative reporter that's been working on the Jody Huizentrout case for over 4 years. Gary has nearly 40 years of experience as a news director and investigative reporter. He was a crime reporter on the north side of Minneapolis working for KSTP, which required working the streets 24 hours a day. He has a unique ability to take on a story and to follow it through to the end. Many of his stories have broken cases that have been cold for several years, and Gary knows the insides of the crime beat as well as the court system, which gives him the advantage over other reporters in the field. And if there is something wrong, Gary will find it. His tenacity and dedication to the Jody Huizentrout case will result in new evidence and increased interest in the case that has baffled authorities for the last 12 years. Gary is certified by the Air Force in ground search and rescue techniques and procedures. He is also a death scene investigator for a medical examiner's office. He's a member of the Texas EquiSearch, assisting in locating missing people worldwide. And he also has an extensive background in emergency management, being a city and county emergency management director. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to our show this evening, Gary Peterson. Good evening, Mr. Peterson.
Good evening and welcome.
Thank you very much for spending some time with us here this evening. Could you give, for our listeners that may not be familiar, can you give a brief synopsis of who Jody Huizentrout is and what transpired?
Sure. Jody is a Minnesota girl born in the Long Prairie area. Her dream was to get into television news. She wanted to be a television anchor and had gone from Alexandria to Cedar Rapids and up to Mason City, where she was a morning newscaster on their morning show up there. And in 1995, she was on her way to work at 4:30 in the morning, and she disappeared from her parking lot. Belief is that she was abducted. And there have been absolutely no clues that have been available to find out what happened to this young lady. It's such a tragic story because she wanted so much to excel in the television news business, and there are those people who believe that her ambition perhaps resulted in some sort of a stalker that had found her and taken advantage of her. So her body has never been recovered. Josh Benson and I have been working on this probably for almost 7 years now. And through our website, findjody.com, we continue to get in tips just about every day. We get hits on that website, and somebody believes something is happening, or they have suspicions of somebody else. But we continue to pound the concrete and try and find anything that can bring closure to Jody's family up here in Minnesota.
Well, with that, I brought the case because it was such a high-profile case that still remains open. Jody has become kind of like Jacob Wetterling, in a sense, a public figure. People are familiar with it and hunger for information on her case. So I asked Robbie to take a look at her case and invited Gary to be a part of the show with us this evening to help ask some questions as an investigator, too, that might be able to help him out. So why don't I just, I'm going to turn over the mic to you, gentlemen. Robbie, this is Gary. Gary, this is Robbie. And Robbie, why don't you go ahead and tell him some of the stuff that you were getting through. And again, we're going to keep any specific detailed locations or specific names that came up out of this live interview. The information will be turned over after the show to Gary, and it will be continued from there. So I'll go ahead, and Robbie, why don't you go ahead and start, and then Gary, feel free to interject with any questions.
Yeah, thank you. And good evening, Robbie.
Good evening, Gary. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Nice to meet you. This was a person who was an acquaintance of hers from a social event. The way I got this was, I put myself into her first, and whenever I do any type of profiling, you have to take the persona on as the person and then as the monster and to get to where you want to go. And as you do your job, you know how it's done. I see her talking to him, like, in casual. This person was infatuated with her and often had some type of communication in the last week of her disappearance. There was an actual, and I was thinking, you know, why am I seeing the phone going up and sitting in, at work, and well, there was calls coming into her. So I put that down as calls coming into her from this person from various phones, not just using a single phone. It's like he covered his tracks. He was planning this for a long time. The flirting with her, and she was back during, again, some type of social event during the last 2 weeks of her disappearance. There was some type of a social event, something, and this all led to where he really wanted to, again, putting myself in the monster shoes. And folks, when you're listening, I'm not becoming that hypocritical monster. I'm just trying to tell you how it feels, and you go through all this emotion. It's like, this is my time, now I should act. And this is how it came about. This male goes to sports bars and is heavily into sports. This is where he goes, a lot of drinking. I see this male is about 5'11". Is it okay to go through the details like this?
Gary, is it okay for him to get into details of the look of the man for you?
Oh, I think yes. That would match several people. So.
Okay, so go ahead.
Okay. 5'11", brown to light brown hair, and have marks on his face such as like freckles and pock marks. And I'm pointing to the right side of my face. Slender in shape, about 175 to 885 pounds in weight.
You mean, I'm sorry, you said slender in shape from about 175 to 185, not 885.
No, sorry, okay. 185 pounds.
All right.
Yes. And he's very charismatic, chooses his words very well when speaking. During the conversation, this is how he found out about her whereabouts as well, through casual contact with her, where she was going to be. And that's how I felt, where she was going to be that night, of her last night. And then I'm just going over my points here. Before, I don't want to mention no names. I'm being formed again through spirit that people should look at those she talked to at an event during that week or last couple days up to her disappearance within that time frame. I won't go over the names, but here again, and the funny thing as well is something about being compared to her birthday and this individual's birthday. It's almost like sharing the same date.
Okay.
Very, 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 like sharing the same month or date and the birth. This really struck me. And I'm just reading on here. The individual, as it is seen by what is given me, looks like not to live not too far in comparison to where she was last seen or heard from. So in other words, he didn't live very far from where her last moments were. In a radius, probably, I would, you know, the way I see things is anything within a half an hour or 20 minutes is not far. So that's very close. Again, I feel I don't have to go far when I travel to where she is.
We have to, Robbie, let's take a quick break here. I'm being signaled from my producer. We have to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue this with Gary and with you as well. Okay, gentlemen, so hold on tight with us. We'll be right back with more. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio, your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night from 9 to midnight. Our guest this evening is Robbie Thomas, and he is a psychic medium out of Canada. For more information on Robbie, you can contact him at robbiethomas.net, RobbieThomas.net. And also on the line, we have a crime scene, death scene investigator and missing person consultant, Gary Peterson, who has been working on the Jody Huzentrout case as well since her disappearance. Is it already 12 years ago, Gary? Is that right?
1995, so if my math is correct, I think that's closer, a little more.
All right. At this point, Gary, do you have any other direct questions for Robbie, or do you want him to just continue on with the information that
he
has?
Robbie, if I could ask you a maybe a clarification on, excuse me, something that I believe is the crux of the whole case is the fact that Jody overslept that morning. And she normally would go to work at about 3 o'clock. And this particular morning, she overslept, and she didn't leave until 4:30. The person who abducted her obviously knew that she was running late. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts about that time difference there between the 2:30 time she would have left and an abductor waiting in her parking lot for 2 hours to take her.
Yeah, the specifics of this is there's two names I come up with. So it's just not one individual. This was two individuals. And it was almost like they knew through talk of wherever she was doing the night before or what have you, in becoming late, going in, look, you're telling me, is that they stalked her. They knew what was coming. And then when I say they, it's two. It's two males.
Two what?
Two males.
Two males, okay.
Robbie, and Gary, I don't know if this is a case, but if you feel that, if she was running late and the abductor was waiting for her to come out at her normal time, could the reason that things may have escalated to a violent proportion is because this perpetrator or the two were just so pissed or enraged that their timing was thrown off by this waiting, that may be what caused things to escalate a little bit more into a violent deal?
Should I comment on that, Robbie?
Yeah, okay, most certainly.
Yes. I think what happened is that I have a tendency to agree with Robbie that there were two males. And I think that the cue of when she was going to be coming down those stairs rested in a light that was on in her apartment. I think when their plan was that when they saw that light go on, they knew that Jody would be coming down the stairs in just a few minutes. So they got there well in advance of 2:30 and were sitting outside, and they kept looking up at her apartment, and they kept seeing a light in the apartment. And they couldn't, after a few minutes, several minutes, they couldn't understand why she wasn't coming out. And they got very frustrated. And they kept waiting and waiting because they thought sooner or later she's got to come out of there. And that's exactly what happened. So they were stopped in that position for 2 hours. Their determination was to wait it out. And I think that's key to this whole thing, too. I think a light on in her apartment that didn't go off signaled to them that she was on her way down, and she wasn't. She was still sleeping.
Let me mention this to you, Gary. I have the names here. We don't want to give the names over the air again, like I said, but if we gave an initial T and an initial J, would that mean anything to you at all on the case or on the people that you have in mind?
That would fit several individuals, yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll look at that, and we do have the names here that he's got, so we'll get that. Now, why don't you go ahead, Robbie, and continue on. You said, I think last thing you were talking about is she's not they're not far from, in comparison, from where she was last seen or heard from.
Right, right.
And you don't have to travel very far to get to where she is. Do you mean where she is, her body now, or where she is?
No, in comparison, these two individuals did not live too far from her. Her body now, as it is, I feel that I'm weighted down and to a point where I'm trapped and I can't come out. And it was almost like I felt like I was in a hole at first. And then I started to see a bridge not far. And it's almost like, again, I started seeing these images like water and the passageway and gorge. And then all of a sudden I got these numbers. And they come up as 376-367. And I don't know what the 376 or 367 comes, but then I run down almost like a bridge or crossing area. So it's like either 376 or 376 or 367 or 3067.
That could actually be a bridge number. A lot of counties will mark their bridges with numbers.
Robbie, let me ask you this again, not meaning to put you on the spot, but if Gary goes out and they're able to locate an area like this and they locate Jody's remains, should they continue a search in that area? Will they possibly find other remains?
Absolutely. You know, not remains. They're going to find evidence. I was hoping you were going to say that word. They're going to find evidence. These two weren't too smart because they didn't just, and again, when I'm profiling a criminal, you try to put your mind scope into the way that they think, and they didn't discard what they used to harm her. It's very close by there as well.
So the remains would be found in how big of an area away?
I wouldn't say very. It's like a very tight area. It's almost like they knew a little area where no one would go. It's like a little secluded area. And again, I want to say I'm under a bridge, but it's almost like I'm very darn close to it.
So the two people, do you feel as though they knew her or they were acquainted with her or did they just stalk her?
These people were acquainted with her. One individual was really acquainted with her through an event that she was at, and she was very casual with him. And then the other one is like almost mocking. Now, this is funny how I'm getting this as I'm talking to you. Almost mocking the investigators or people because you got nothing on me. But they do because he's part of.
Do you think that these people that are involved or maybe a single person from that duo would be involved in other murders in other areas?
And, you know, it's funny, when you ask me that question, first thing that comes to me is I see a dividing line in, like, two states. So I don't know how close or where your border is and how close to a different state you are in, but there's, like, two states. I see the line.
Now, Mason City would be within 25 miles of the Minnesota line, so it would be 25 miles to get into Minnesota.
Okay.
Well, just to recap here, the information that Robbie provided is that he believes that the person was an acquaintance of hers from a social event she attended. The person was infatuated with her and often had some type of communication in the last week of her disappearance. Actual phone calls might have been placed to her from this person from various phones so that he knew that there would be no tracking of a similar number being repeated over and over to her contact. He was flirting with her, and she was back during, again, some type of social event during the last 2 weeks of her disappearance, before her disappearance. The male frequents sports bars, is heavily into sports, and Robbie sees the male as being around 5'11", with brown to light brown hair, and has marks on his face, such as freckles and pockmarks. And you said you were pointing to the right side of your face?
Absolutely.
You believe that he's slender in shape, about 175 to 185 pounds in weight. During the conversation, this is how he found out the whereabouts of where she was going to be that night for the timing of this. You were also being informed through spirit that people should look at those she talked to at an event during the last week or last couple of days leading up to her disappearance. You do have two names that you're coming up with, one that starts with a T, one that starts with a J. Yes, he did provide me with actual names, ladies and gentlemen, not just initials like every medium does out there. So we're going to turn this over to Gary after the show. You also say the funny thing is, as well, is something about being compared in birthday-wise, almost like maybe they shared the same birthday or in the same birthday month. Also, the individual, as it is seen by what's given to you, it looks to be not too far. They live not too far in comparison to where she was last seen or heard from. And you feel that you don't have to go far when you travel to where she is. Also, you see an embankment now where water flows into a river area, cement walls that go into a water almost like a divert the water to control it. You feel you're weighted down to a point where you're trapped and can't come out. And you see a bridge not far from where she is, almost like a gorge or water passageway. The numbers you're getting are 376 or 367. They come almost like a bridge or crossing area. And, Gary, if people have an idea from these kind of descriptions of somebody they think might fit it, or if Robbie's completely off base on all of this, but they have information leading to Jody, how can they reach you?
Well, I would actually prefer them to call the Mason City Police Department. They're actually the lead agency on this. And I would like to also point out that if we go out to investigate a site, a tip or a leader or something like that, we have a very good relationship with law enforcement in Iowa, and we would make sure that they know where we're going, and if there was anything at all that even looked suspicious, we would call law enforcement in very quickly, because we don't want to damage this case at all.
Right.
I think that...
So please, for the mercenaries out there that want to solve this case, leave it to the professionals. What we're doing here tonight is trying to help shed some light on maybe a cold case file, giving the information to somebody who's been involved in the case, and then we're going to pass this information on to that police department as well and let them take it from there. So please do not go out searching for this. Don't look for glory in this woman's shame, because unfortunately you may disturb the piece of evidence that can link the murderer to this crime, and that will only hinder getting justice for Jody, who's in truth.
That's very good. And I would like to tell Robbie that his items, his observances, and conclusions, I think, are extremely interesting, and I would like to stress extremely.
Great. Well, thank you, Gary, for being a part of the show this evening. We'll get that information over to you, and then if you'd like to forward that on to the police department, we'll give you also an audio copy of tonight's show.
All right, very good.
Thank you, Gary, and continued success trying to work on this case, and thank you very much for the work that you do in this field as well, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We are going to be back with more. We have to take a break here. We're running a little long. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Our guest is Robbie Thomas. He is a psychic medium and psychic profiler. We'll be back with more. If you want information on Robbie, check out his website at robbiethomas.net. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. We are your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. If you've missed any part of tonight's show and you'd like to hear it in its entirety, check out our website, and you can check out our podcasts there. All right, we are going to go to our next call, and Robbie, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you spending time with us this evening. I know that we've got another case here we want to work on. We're running a little behind, and that you also did a reading for us on Kaylee Anthony. If anything, I know you're busy, but after the top of the hour, could we hold you for about another 5 or 6 minutes just to kind of go over the tips that you have on the Kaylee Anthony case?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll do that. I don't want to shortcut you here on the work that you've done. On the line with us, we're going to go to our next caller. We have Mike Ganster online with us, and Mike had reached out to me. I'd asked him about some of the cold case files and things that he might have an interest in presenting this evening, and he had come up to me with a case that he had a specific interest in. And, Mike, thanks for joining us on the show this evening.
Hi, Dave. Thank you.
Can you give us a little background on it's Chris Tickle, is that correct?
Chris Trickle?
Yeah. Trickle. Okay, I'm sorry, Trickle. And could you give a little information you know, so we can lead into this. Robbie's already done a basic reading on this, and we'll go over the points that he's come up with and see if there's something there that might be of help for you.
Okay. Well, Chris is my cousin's son out in Las Vegas, and in 1997 he was shot. And Chris lived for 13 months, 8 months of it in a coma. Since he died 13 months after the shooting, the person who did it can never be tried for murder. He has since gotten that, my cousin has gotten that changed. The Chris Trickle law in Nevada now is if anyone dies at the hands of another, no matter the time frame, they can be charged with homicide. So one good thing came out of it. Chris was an up-and-coming race car driver. His uncle Dick Trickle, everybody's probably heard of.
Right.
But Chris was up and coming, and what the following year was supposed to be in NASCAR trucks. And anyway, so it was a waste.
All right, Robbie, you took a look at this case. And Mike, I don't know if you've got a way to jot this down, but we'll let you take these notes. We will supply you with a copy of the notes that he's provided to us as well. And any names or anything that he pulls off, we will give to you offline, okay?
Very well.
All right, and now with this case, so we know where Chris's body is. The remains were found, correct? I mean, he has been interned. Everything is closed on that end, correct?
Yeah, all that's been handled. The only thing really up in the air is who was the shooter.
Okay. All right, Robbie, with that, I will let you talk. Mike, this is Robbie Thomas. Robbie Thomas, this is Mike Ganster. And Robbie, you go ahead and start. And then, Mike, if you have questions specifically geared towards us, feel free to throw in questions for him as well.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Hi, Mike. Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. And you?
I'm good. I'm doing well, thank you. Nice to be speaking with you, and sorry about this circumstance.
Thank you.
I feel I had an alter, and when I'm talking in first person as I put myself into his shoes, I feel I had an altercation with someone in the work I do. Someone really jealous of what I've accomplished and wanted me out of the way. This is what comes. I also feel and see someone pulling alongside me, almost like the pass, but I feel we slowed down and then a gun pulled out at me. I hear and see a shot come at me. The vehicle that is driven by the other individual is red in color, and to me it looked like almost like a Corvette shape. It was like a sporty car. Almost like a Corvette in shape. There was loud music coming from this car. It was country music coming from this car. I can make that out clear. The car has something like to do with the cattle or horses, like the dash and the steering wheel is made from it or represents it, like the steering wheel had like it was like overemphasized of being of a rancher type thing.
Kind of cowboy looking?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I hear this being said, and it's a quote, "Told you I would finally catch up to you." And that was a quote. So this goes back to an altercation, someone being totally jealous. It was almost like someone got brushed off, and then finally now it's, "I told you I would finally catch up to you." Now, I give initials because these initials come, and I don't know if I should give these out, Dave, or say
Mike,
them.
Mike, would you prefer he keeps the initials off air, or is it okay to give just the initials?
No, on the air is fine.
Okay.
Okay. They came like AJ or JD initials, and they came in two sets, come for representation of someone's name. Also, what was really funny, I see like a beer can was thrown from the car window and the murderer very close by. And again, it's funny, like a bowl on it. It had like a bowl on it. So everything in reference was to like horns and things. There's also something about a girl here that knows about this, wanting to come forward, but she's in control of this. She's in control by this other person. There has been anonymous tips. Now, this is really funny. This struck me. I was seeing this. There's been anonymous tips or tips come in that seem ludicrous or not feasible. These should be looked at again. They should really be looked at again. It's almost like they came in and go, "Ah, this is far-fetched." They should look at it again. This person also...
Robbie, do you think by far-fetched, and I don't know how much, I don't know if you want to give away, do you mean because the person may be of somebody of...
Important
or fame?
Yes.
Okay.
This person also lives in what I am getting in a tri-state area. That came across tri-state. So now I have no idea, what this means, but the authorities might... in that area, in that tri-state area of wherever this happened, and so they'll know. And for them to go back and look at these anonymous tips. Here's something that came out of the blue, too. It comes as Bruiser, almost like a nickname for an individual. Okay, Bruiser. So that's and I put that in quotes.
Okay, does that, with anything that you guys know or any of the leads that you're familiar with, Mike, does that help you guys with any of the stuff that you know, or is that something that needs to be a little bit more research for you?
Well, it's, all of the above.
Okay.
He certainly hit on a couple of items that I had been suspicious of. The fact that someone was jealous of the success, perhaps, that he had reached or attained in the racing field. I always thought that may be the case.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, Mike, I will supply you with a copy of the notes that that Robbie supplied us with this evening. Did you have any last questions for Robbie for direction on this at all before we part ways here?
I don't really at this time. Okay. I'll just have to pour over what we've talked about.
So. All right. Well, Mike, thank you very much for sharing your story with us this evening and letting Robbie be a part of this. And Robbie, again, thank you for helping out with Mike.
Absolutely.
Guys, we're going to take our last break of the hour here. We'll be back, and we will go over the Kaylee Anthony case right after this. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Our guest this evening, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium and profiler. You can look up more information on Robbie Thomas and look to book personal readings with Robbie by going to robbiethomas.net. Last case that we're going to work on here for this evening. Before I do, I'd like to make a mention, folks. You know, we may not get closure on these cases, which I know is part of the bone of contention with shows like most haunting evidence. And people are fried with it. You got to understand that just because Robbie may supply them with some more tips that may prove to be true, it may take a while for them to act upon it. And law may be reluctant to tell us that it was Robbie's tips that helped solve the case. However, if they do end up finding answers to these cases, we will report back to you if there are matches to what Robbie reported on our show. So we will keep you in the loop with that as we get more. Final case that we've got, and it's going to be a fast one here. Robbie, of course, has the most notes on this case, so I'm going to try to read through them quickly with you. We're going to talk about the Kaylee Anthony case. Kaylee was born August 9th, 2005. She's a 3-year-old girl from Orlando, Florida, who's been missing since June 2008 and has attracted national attention for the mysterious and dubious circumstances of her disappearance and her probable death. Her mother, Casey Anthony, 22, is indicted on October 14th, 2008, for first-degree murder of Kaylee. Police found Casey Anthony's account of Kaylee's disappearance suspicious after learning that Casey had not reported her daughter missing for over a month. The last time Casey Anthony claimed to have seen Kaylee was on June 9th, 2008, but the child's disappearance was not reported to police until July 15th. Kaylee remains missing, and her mother remains silent. So we asked Robbie to chime in on this case. Robbie, I'm going to go over some of these points because we've got a short amount of time left. I'm going to go through them, and if there's anything you need to add to this, feel free to jump in, okay? Are we there? Do we still have Robbie online with us? Robbie? All right, well, we'll give Robbie a chance to connect here again with us. But the case, the tips that we have on here, immediately we've got that he was able to... looking at her picture, he was a sense of not breathing. It comes as if somebody literally suffocated her. He also renders a feeling of fright, like he's being yelled at, like Kaylee is being yelled at for something a child would do in everyday living, but it seemed to have pissed off her mom. He also senses the fact that mom's desire to belong with the crowd and in the stages of planning being put in place, her time was invaded, so she angered very quickly. She was short-fused on this. Lashing out at Kaylee for the fact social plans were being jeopardized, meaning she got very upset very fast at the fact that no one to watch Kaylee at the time she desired to go out. Well, it's just sad as you read through this. Pictures only say one side of a story. There is another side of the mother, too. Too perfect, a pretend world she likes to display herself as having with Kaylee. She's also moving. He said he's moving up now two places, like he was placed in a dark area covered up by soil, then dug up and moved for the second time. And he's given the initials OC Park. That's O period C period Park. He says he feels that he's left here not just by the mother, however, by another family member as well. And also determined to mark the area in which she lay, he sees two rocks, not small but large enough that it takes all of his strength to lift and place them as a marker to where she is. He also wants to say, talk to the brother of the mother, for he knows much more than he's letting on. He is the other half of the come help me on this scenario. He's also being instructed to say, give a lie detector test to the brother and ask specific questions, for this would be a break in the case as well. And Robbie, we've been going over each point. We're up to point 10 on the list here. Before I continue on, is there anything that you want to flesh out about any of the first 10 points that you feel, you know, may have come to you a little bit more since, or we just stay on task and I'll keep reading the different points that we have and you can add to them as we go along?
Well, I think it's very pertinent that the police really go at the brother. Okay. This is a facade they're you know, there's only so much we can lean on the mother. We know she's done it, but when you're a conspirator or someone who's going along with it, he'll break. She's being really closed-mouthed about it, but he's going to break, and that's how I feel about this. And, you know, the mom and dad, they knew nothing of this. I know people point the finger at the mom and dad, the grandparents I'm talking.
Right. As a matter of fact, I think the grandmother came out and said, check the car. It smells like a dead person.
Right.
She was really kind of bashing that deal as well. Now, you think that the brother and the sister are using some kind of code language between themselves and covering their tracks, staying or trying to stay one step ahead of the law.
Absolutely.
And they devised this plan as Kaylee lay in wait to be placed in the first area that you saw her being buried in.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And it's almost like a day-to-day basis thing. What are we going to do now? What are we, you know, and it's going on and on. And I know she's being watched and she's in jail and now and what have you. Prior to, they really devised this way about going about it.
Now, you also say that they need to kind of pour back over her earlier statements, for there's a lot of clues where she speaks out of turn as well on this case.
Absolutely.
And you do see a waterway and a highway or a large road way with traffic to which this road comes off is like a park area that's secluded. And again, something about the letters O period C period or OC Park is what you're picking up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that came to me right away when this case, you know, was on TV. I made mention, I said, the park and OC Park. So, you know, again, looking at this child's picture, OC Park is so thick, and two burials. So they had her once already buried, and they dug her up and moved her.
We've got about a minute left. Let me cover these other facts real quickly for anybody listening out there. You hear something like a theme area at times and see an image given that the park area or off from the park area, there's a music and large crowds at times, not given the time of carnival or bands at play, but it's used in this fashion nearby the area, correct?
That's right.
And the fact of the disposal of her body was given thought in to it in many different ways by the second individual helping the mother. And the mother couldn't come to terms of doing any more harm than she had already done or has been done so by burying her only, correct?
That's right.
And there's also an article, you believe, an article of personal belonging the mother actually lost in the area as well. Now, is that in the first site or in the second site?
No, this is in the last site where the body is.
So you see something very small, like in jewelry, that came off, and she was actually looking for it. And you would say maybe for the police, they should be looking for something. Police should investigate further as to whether or not she has been missing something as of late.
Absolutely.
And once again, you come to that park and see a fence. It's like a chain link fence. It goes at the area, and there's a gap or ending to it. This is great stuff. I mean, you've got a lot of great information on here, Robbie. We are going to pass this on to the police department in that area. Our show's come to an end for this evening, and we'd love to invite you back more to discuss this and other cases in the future if you're open for that as well.
Absolutely.
Robbie, thank you very much. Again, people can reach out to you and book personal readings with you by going to robbiethomas.net.
That's correct.
robbie.thomas.net. And for all the information, including an event you have coming up in Canada soon too, correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right. Well, Robbie, thank you very much for spending your evening here with us in the darkness on the edge of town. We appreciate your time, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dave.
We'll talk to you again soon. And thank you all for tuning into the show. We're going to be back after the top of the hour break. We'll have international correspondent Adrian Lee talking about the weird news of the world. We'll be back with more Darkness Radio after the top of the hour.